Let's get to Jim Bartlett. Now, Jim, I probably shouldn't have been, but I was shocked. He ran against Kirsten Baszler, the current superintendent of schools in North Dakota, the head of the Department of Public Instruction. He said, you know what? I want that job. And he went to the Republican convention and said, it's a nonpartisan position, but I sure would like your endorsement. And you know what they said? Yes, you're our guy. Jim, good to have you on News and Views.
Thanks for having me, Joel.
What happened?
Well, we've been studying the issues behind the schools for about 30 years. I taught engineering at NDSU and then also directed the North Dakota Homeschool Association, so I could see both inside the box and outside the box, and started explaining it from a philosophical point of view. And apparently, two-thirds of the Republicans saw that we really need to acknowledge God, truth, and reality again in the public schools.
But why do you think that is? When I look at your website here and it says Bartlett for North Dakota Superintendent of Public Instruction, one of the things that you stress big time is the teaching of Christianity, Christian work ethic, and the Ten Commandments. Why do you think that needs to happen? Why do you think our children are being indoctrinated as to being against God?
Absolutely, for sure. And that started a long time ago. Think about John Dewey in 1933 signing the Humanist Manifesto. And part of the details there, you can find on the Stanford University website, Plato section, is that he wanted to create a more public religion. He didn't want to criticize Christianity, but he did want to create something different that they could transition over to. So there's been a decline in Christian thinking since then. But then we can think, too, about the North Dakota Constitution. One aspect is to require the teaching of morals to children in the school. Well, that was ratified in 1889. Dictionary around that time was from Webster in 1828. He was the American founder of scholarship and education. And the definition for morals at the time were basically the ability to discern good and evil. And if you look up good and evil in that dictionary, you'll find the definitions for good and evil were based on the Bible. So we had a Christian culture when the North Dakota Constitution was written. And in fact, even until 1983, you could say we had a Christian culture because there's a test called the Pierce Test from NehemiahInstitute.com. But it basically shows that in 1983, Christian kids that were going to public school were thinking like a moderate Christian. During the last 25 years or more, there's been a steady decline in what kids were thinking through the entire range of secular humanism, so that today every child, the Christian ones even, coming out of public schools are thinking like socialists.
Can I ask you this? What if my son or daughter was a Jew? How would they feel in your classroom?
Yeah, they would be completely free to think as they like, and they'd be encouraged to do that as well.
But Jim, you've got to answer it, though, this part of it. You just got done saying that what needed to be taught in that classroom is Christianity and Christian principles, and yet you just told me as a Jew that I would be completely welcome. Would Jewish faith be taught in that classroom as well?
Each school would have freedom because they would be able to, it would be a bottom-up system so that you'd have the parents within that school deciding what needed to be taught in that school. So if you had a bunch of Jewish families in the school, they can teach the Jewish faith as much as they want. The idea of freedom really comes from Christianity, but it gives everybody freedom, not only the Christian. And there's no idea of forcing religion on anybody, so that the ideas with Christianity coming from the scriptures. And so it really points to a limited government, a limited top-down idea, so that the parents themselves at the school levels would be able to decide what happens in that school. In fact, what I've been saying is,
Jim, yeah. I don't know too many classrooms where a young Jewish student would be in the majority. I mean, if you were a Muslim, if you were a Jew, if you were an atheist, You don't have the ability to have parents that can go to a school board meeting and outvote those that are Christian. You and I know that. I mean, the classroom that I grew up in, heck, it was such a Catholic community. Out of the eight kids in my class, seven of us were Catholic. One was Lutheran. And so my point is this: if you single out certain religions as to being in charge of what happens in terms of the teaching, then aren't those minority religions always going to feel as though they're part of a minority and not part of a say?
Not at all. Think about the idea of neutrality. There's a myth of neutrality that's the most pernicious lie that we have going on today. And that is where people believe blindly that what is being taught in the public schools now is religiously neutral. That's false. There's basically six different worldviews, religions, you call them. And of those six, Christianity is one. But if you're not thinking like a Christian, then you are thinking about and like one of the others. And so you cannot be religiously neutral, and we can give you the details on that. So there's not an option.
Okay. I received this from a man of the cloth that I respect immensely. He said, you know, these religion politicians slash politicians can't seem to understand Christians don't agree on how to express their faith. In fact, we fight with each other about it. So there can't possibly be one accepted teaching of Christianity, even. Your thoughts on that, Jim?
Yes, you bet. Most Christians are not against the Ten Commandments. And so the Ten Commandments can be summarized as love God, love your neighbor, or they could be even summarized further by saying, you know, do unto others as you'd like them to do to you. So most people are not against that. And so the ideas that come from that will actually flush out the things that are against it. So, for instance, in the Fargo Public Schools, I just got the document for the transgender inclusion. And so I've got that on my website under the blog. And so that would be a part of a different worldview to even have that in the public schools, right? Because so you've got postmodernism, and they have an anti-realism philosophy. And so they don't believe that truth exists or reality exists. And so, wow, that gets interesting.
Well, let me just say this, Jim, because if you're the superintendent of public instruction, it would be your job to meet with everyone, right? Agreed? I mean, you're the head of the education system in North Dakota. Have you, in fact, ever met with parents that have a transgender kid?
Yes. Yeah. And
what did they tell you?
Yeah, they would be happy with the transgender policy at the Fargo Public Schools.
Okay, so again, I for me personally, Jim, I'm just going to express my views, which is it doesn't bother me because it doesn't affect me. It doesn't cause the teaching of my children to become, as you might point out, a choice to be trans or gay or whatever, when in fact I don't believe that's how it is. But let me ask you this, because you did bring up the Fargo Public Schools. If I drove around Fargo, I would see Fargo Oak Grove. I would see Park Christian. I would see Shanley. I would see, I mean, all of these places that allow my faith to have a place to go if that's where I wanted the focus to be, that I would have all of these private schools. And of course, living where I live, Jim, I live in Richland County. There were a lot of kids in my area that went to St. Francis. Years later, they went to Shanley, so it wasn't undoable there as well. Why not just focus on what you're focused on through private schools?
Because the impact of the public schools is very significant on the entire culture. And so that is part of the mission of Christianity, is to bring truth and reality to all of creation. God is the God of all things, not just private schools. In fact, that is a history issue in Christianity, where the focus has been on evangelism and morals and stopped applying scriptures to the rest of the topics.
So let me ask this then too, Jim. I got a bunch of questions, and I do want to compliment you, because you know I may not agree with your positions, but you're willing to have this conversation with me. Do you believe that if you win this vote, if you end up being head of the Department of Public Instruction by getting the most votes, that the people of North Dakota would have spoke to you?
Oh, yes.
Okay, let me ask the second phase of that question then, which is, don't the people of North Dakota then, if you honor and respect votes, shouldn't we respect the vote that they cast for school board members?
Yes, but we also have to look at the influences over the school board members and what they're taught and the philosophies that they're being taught, and the fact that they went to public school, you know, with the indoctrination and social engineering already embedded. So those have to be sorted out.
Okay. Let me also ask this, because it is public dollars. Do you feel at all that you have separated what the U.S. Constitution says, which is not a religious document? It's a document that defines what we as a nation are going to go forth. And there's clearly in the U.S. Constitution, a provision that separates church and state. Don't you feel as though this flies directly in the face of the U.S. Constitution?
No, not at all. 2 points. All laws are religious, and the separation of church and state is not the idea that you're thinking of. The idea is that we should not teach any, you know, in the states in early America, each one was like a different denomination of Christianity. So there's a false premise there.
Would you allow a Muslim to be a teacher?
That's a good question. I think at that point it would be the looking at the teacher. So imagine a classroom full of parents without teachers, without administrators, and then those parents are all Muslims, for instance. Me or somebody else could be at the front of the board saying right on the top of the board, complete parental control, left side of the board, right, vision statement for that school, objectives, and then start using lean accounting methods. So basically putting the value and numbers to what the parents actually want. Then if they want, you know, so much of this religion, or they want to put social emotional learning in there, or CRT, or transgender, let's put a number on the balance sheet and profit and loss statement for each thing that they want, so then we can actually get the value that that group of parents actually want.
But you say that group of parents, Jim, and that's really what the school board is. They're that group of parents that was elected amongst themselves to be on the school board.
Yeah, I think what I'm hearing from school board members is that there's a major influence from outside sources. For instance, the North Dakota Cell Group that trains the school board members and others, or maybe they train the superintendents, but the school board association, they have some radical influences that need to be
exposed. Well, but then they shouldn't be on the school board if they can't stand up to it. I mean, if somebody's trying to indoctrinate their children into this, that, or the other thing, I mean, if you look at what happened in Nazi Germany, you know, these people were indoctrinated and went along with the theory that Jews were less than human being. You know, if you want to indoctrinate people, religion can be an amazing tool to separate and to outcast and to abuse human beings. But that doesn't change the fact that our Constitution, in my opinion, because of many reasons, and some of which were the Church of England, which I think both you and I know what that stood for. The Church of England was telling people what religion it had to be.
You know, secular humanism is a religion, and that's defined by the Supreme Court. And now, since you mentioned Germany and the Nazis, there's the Nuremberg trials after that time, and there's an awesome experiment. It's on YouTube. It's the Milner experiment, where they were just studying why did nice people follow Hitler, like even the doctors, to killing other people. So the Milner experiment is where they had a guy in a white coat that had authority, and then a person running a little test thing, and then one on the other side of the wall, and they gave him an electric shock for every wrong answer. And so, short story, 50% of the nice people that followed authority killed the guy in the other room.
Jim Bartlett, ladies and gentlemen, Republican-endorsed candidate for the Department of Public Instruction. Jim, I'm assuming you're willing to take some calls when we come back after this break?
Oh, love to. You bet.
You bet. Jim Bartlett, Republican-endorsed candidate for DPI, is taking your questions or comments. Let's get to Jake. Jake, you've got a question for Mr. Bartlett.
Yes, Mr. Bartlett. Say, the school board sets a budget, and I've heard that some of those budgets, that 70 to 80% of those is the salary and the benefits. Are you cutting 40% of the 100% or 40% of 20%? Are you going to fire the teachers or janitors, or what's the plan? And are you taking away local control is my second question. And the third question that I have is, will you resign if you're elected and a flurry of lawsuits hits your office due to the plans you plan to implement?
Thank you, Jake. Jim, I don't remember all three, but take a run at it.
You bet. First of all, the way I look at budgets is from the bottom up. So if you study lean accounting from Toyota Production Systems, et cetera, and they do use that in different schools like Iowa, you would start with the parents, the customer, and say, okay, parents, let's get the budget in line with what you actually want as a customer. So that's the fun part. So we can start putting the philosophies as well as the types of math and everything we want everything the parents want in each school and create the budget. So then everything else becomes waste that's not actually serving the customer. So you don't, and that's really awesome in business as well as every other thing. So that's the first question. The second one, local control. I go beyond local control. I think we should have parent control, which would include the local, you know, people for the tax issues. But yeah, so then complete parental control so that we get the top down ideas out of the way so we can actually serve the customers. And on the third one, no, I wouldn't resign in the face of lawsuits. I think people are scared of the lawsuits when they need to be really standing up for the truth, because the truth will always win.
Jim, when you come to Fargo, or maybe even before then, we'll give you a call. But the phone lines are lit up. We could have done this all day. I think you owe it to your campaign and to the people of North Dakota to take these calls, which I appreciate you doing. Let's do it some more, okay?
I would love to. Thank you so much.
Jim Bartlett. Wait a sec, Jim, if you're still there, what's your website people can go to?
Yes, Bartlett, BartlettSPI.org.
Okay.
Like superintendent. Yep.
You bet. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it. He is the Republican-endorsed candidate for the Department of Public Instruction.